Welcome to all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting episode of Let's Weekend. I am, of course, your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Elogi. Say hi, everybody.
Hello. I'm back.
Hi.
Finally. Yes, Patrick is finally back.
Yep.
After the ungodly hell that is moving.
I'm still kind of in that hell, but I'm at the point where my computer and the internet are here.
Yeah.
That's all you really need.
Yeah, a good chunk of this 3-day weekend will go to moving, though. So that is an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so this week, well, amongst other things, we're going to tell you what Trump decided to do about that North Korean summit. Those commemorative coins really dropped in value, didn't they?
They had value?
We also got, for those you don't know, we had primaries, some primaries this week in others, including my state of Georgia. We'll tell you how those went. Also, Elon Musk is wanting to create a site to let public rate the media. Not sure if that's a good idea or not.
Could go wrong.
Yeah. And also, the NFL is fucking up. All that, we've also got some entertainment news, including finally learning what the next Lego, what the Lego movie sequel is.
Yeah.
And, oh yeah, and the Simpsons guy has a new show coming on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. All right, so all that and more on this episode of Let's Weekend. So this episode is going to be for May 25th, 2018. I'm pretty sure that's going to be, it's going to be the last show of the month.
Yep.
And so to kick off this last show of the month, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So in accordance with the new EU GDPR regulations that went into effect today, I have to let you all know that I have updated my privacy policy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That's a thing.
Yeah, pretty much every freaking website you go on this week have basically had to tell you, hey, we just changed our terms of service, you know.
So, I've been getting, about approximately 430 emails about that.
Yeah.
Hopefully now that they've gone into effect, we're not going to see any more of those, and that will stop. So,
yeah,
we can hope. But apart from that, I started reading Ordination by Daniel M. Snow, which is the first book of his Paladin trilogy. It's kind of like, it's a fantasy novel, obviously. It's kind of a very archetypical type characters, you got your good knight, you got your evil sorcerer, you got blah, 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 blah. But the guy writes so incredibly well that it doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
So, I'm very much enjoying that so far, and we'll see where it goes. Apart from that, I've been watching some Mythbusters. I'm at the 2014 season. They're doing the A-team right now. That's kind of fun. So, there were some episodes that I hadn't seen before leading up to that, so it's like, these are new to me, so whatever. So I'm enjoying those. And apart from that, I've been playing some games that have actually been released in 2018, so that's that's a good thing. I started to
play, oh, really?
Yeah. Started playing Horizon Chase Turbo, which is far, far better than I had expected it to be.
Immediately on my list.
Yeah. It's wow. To put it I'm pretty sure, Pat, you played Top Gear on the SNES.
Way back in the day, yeah.
It's that. That is 100% what this game is. So
that makes sense.
Awesome. Yeah.
So there's that. Been playing that. And
how much is it?
It's $20.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's on PS4 and PC, so you check that out.
If I wasn't still clenching my colon from the move.
Yeah. Well, we'll see about maybe being able to get another code. I'm not sure, but we'll try. Apart from that, I've been playing Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle. Wow. I'm not sure exactly what I was expecting when I got into this game. I wasn't expecting to actually be able to, manage with it.
That's what a lot of people who are new to Blaze Blue are saying about Cross Tag Battle.
Yeah.
Or people who know what Blaze Blue is and weren't able to play that.
Yeah. There's it seems to be a lot more approachable. I think the tactics mode that they've added in there actually helps quite a bit in figuring out what the hell you're doing.
Toshimichi Mori is a genius.
Yeah. There's quite a bit of good stuff going on in there. I will say that the story mode makes no goddamn sense. But
you don't it's Arc Systems work. It's not supposed to make sense.
It's crossover fan fiction.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can't really talk too much about that because I have an embargo until the 5th on specifics. But I can say that, yeah, it's pretty good so far. I'm actually enjoying it quite a bit. And I didn't expect that game would even be on my radar. So, yeah, that's pretty much been my week. So, how about you, Pat?
Pretty sure it still doesn't beat the Who Ate the Pie mystery in Revelator 2.
Probably not.
But
I've just been moving for the most part. I've been, you know, doing a little bit of gaming, snuck in here and there, you know, as permitted by circumstance, but that hasn't been a whole lot.
Hmm.
And honestly, the most I've been able to do in the way of entertainment has been catching the first couple episodes of Cobra Kai, which is outstanding. I mean, it's the right way to go back and examine the Karate Kid so many years later.
Huh. That's interesting, because a lot of us were thinking that was going to be pretty awful.
We all thought it was pretty much going to fall over like a lead balloon, but it's ended up being better than it has any right to be.
No, it's fantastic. At least from the two episodes that I've seen, because I don't have YouTube Red, but I'm definitely going to be getting my free trial probably sooner than later.
Yeah.
And it did so well. I think the day after it went live, it got signed for a second season.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. So you've been moving, obviously, for the past 3 weeks.
Yes.
Now you realize all the stuff that you have to move. It's like, God damn, I didn't know I had that much crap.
I think the worst of it is over, and I think a lot of it I unburdened myself of in the last move.
Yeah.
Like 4 years ago. So that has been something of a relief. But honestly, at this point, it's a whole bunch of boxes and then a couple of bookshelves and my arcade cabinet that's actually at the old place, the other one I have in storage.
Yeah.
And then I'll pretty much be done.
Cool. What did you end up doing for internet?
I went with Comcast.
Oh,
that was that.
Yeah, yeah, Comcast. Well. What speed did you get?
150.
Nice. All right, yeah. Okay, maybe you can torrent. I only have 100.
Like I said, nothing is ancillary now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't have to share. It's all your bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel like this particular modem is kind of a euphemism in its design, but I'll just leave it at that. So that's been my week.
All right, Teresa?
I have been playing Kingdom New Lands to the point of excluding most everything else. I can't believe I'm back on this game. I did finally get one of the last two achievements I was looking for on Steam, and that was getting off the fifth island or the fifth land by day 30. Mm-hmm. And I really thought my goose was cooked. I really did. I was running all over trying to get away from the big giant monsters that were vomiting out little monsters. But I did that. And, I played the original Kingdom quite a bit. And I like the differences that they have in New Lands. It's pretty cool. I'm especially fond of the unicorn who shits out gold coins.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, nothing like riding a unicorn and then stopping, having it eat, and it shits gold coins.
Nice.
So.
that's good for finances, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is. I no more relying on your agriculture and worrying that winter is coming. And you've taken too long to get off the goddamn island, and you're, you know, there's no more money.
Yeah.
There's no hunting deer. There's no hunting rabbit. There's no farming. Yeah. You know, it's all dead. Yeah. But that's been pretty fun. And then I started watching some show on Netflix. I think it's called something like I Like Dick or I Love Dick. And my kid came in the room, and so I had to change it. So I turned on Royals. Not like that's much better. But at this point, I wish I could find a kind of like a synopsis of each episode, because this is pretty friggin' schlocky. It's pretty bad. It's like a nightmare. So I've been watching that, though. Elizabeth Hurley only had two expressions in the original, in season one, but she has expanded to have more than just a couple of expressions now. So that's helping. You know, I've seen her acting in other things, and sometimes she does seem to be kind of a one-trick pony. But that's really about all I've been doing other than just taking care of some personal business.
All right. Well, then, Chris, what about you? All right. Well, since Chris is having some issues right now, we'll wait on him for a little bit, since apparently he's gone off to set Microsoft on fire.
After they Nancy Kerrigan'd him.
Yeah. Why? 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 By the way, have any of you seen that movie? Have any of you seen that movie?
No.
The Tonya Harding movie, I, Tonya?
No.
Damn, it is good. Like, that's what people have told me. It's like, you'll actually end up feeling sorry for Tonya fucking Harding. Which...
Well, who the hell directed that?
Fiction.
Yeah. So, anyway, what have I been up to? Well, I'm working on my review for Conan Exiles, which is... I'm hoping to have it done by this time Sunday. I got words, got things to say. I have opinions. It's definitely an engaging game, but it does have some issues that need to be fixed. It is janky, but you know, you'll see it all in the review. What I mean. And since, you know, that's pretty much been done, as for actual gaming, I got back into Mass Effect Andromeda. And now that, you know, all the patches and stuff for it have come out and basically a lot closer to, I guess, what they actually wanted the game to look like instead of the rushed mess that came out. Thank you, EA. It's a lot of fun. It's everything reminded me of why I love that series. I definitely do recommend getting it now. It's cheap. All the patches are out that you can go ahead and get. You won't have to worry about any, you know, downloadable content that you'll have to buy because they basically scrapped it. And it's definitely good. Other than that, I have got my... Oh, yeah. I started my 14-day free trial with Funimation. Nice. So I've got all the animes now. All of them.
Yep.
Including the classics, like, you know, the original Slayers. Yeah. And new stuff, including, and I don't know why more people aren't talking about it, the new version of Legend of the Galactic Heroes.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's a new version of it now. It's damn good. it doesn't look quite as ancient as the original one does.
Yeah.
It has also not aged well.
Not visually, no. Well, I mean, it's hard for it because, I mean, it went through like two or three different studios, during its production. Cause you know, it was originally produced by, what was that studio? Kitty? I think that was what they were called.
Kitty, yeah.
People that did Urusei Yatsura and some other big anime at the time. But this one, it's, you know, they've got it sort of a more modern character designs. I mean, it's not like over the top. It's still, it's pretty subdued, but it's definitely a bit more modern looking. Oh, yeah, and English dub. They've got an English dub, and it's damn good.
Good.
Yeah. If I have one issue so far, because, I mean, right now they've got 5 episodes available now. My one issue right now is that some of the – there's one – and, I mean, it's – granted, it's early in the series. It's possible they could change this later on because I am absolutely convinced if this is going the way I think it is that they're going to end up – like with the original anime, they're going to have like 1 or 2 documentary episodes. Just to fill you in on the back history of this world. But they had a sort of, at the beginning of, I think, I can't remember if it was 3 or 4, if it was episode 3 or 4, they actually went back briefly to tell you how the Empire was founded. And I've talked about how Legend of the Galactic Heroes goes with the Empire founding, right? It was founded by this... It was founded by this guy named Rudolf von Goldenbaum.
Yeah.
He was basically Space Hitler.
Yep.
He was a war hero, came back, he was elected to Parliament, eventually became Prime Minister and President at the same time, made himself into an all-powerful dictator, and then basically became undisputed emperor of the entire empire, basically reshaped the entire, what then former federation to fit his personal ideology, which of course included basically genocidal bullshit like the Inferior Genes Exclusion Act. Like one of the things they actually show is like him having like a there's like a part where they're like felling like these tall like skyscrapers and replacing them with like agrarian Prussian housing.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But the problem is the way they've designed him, because in the original anime, he's made to look, like, very handsome. Like, he isn't a complete wild-eyed-looking fanatic.
Yeah.
He's got, like, a straight jaw, and he's good-looking, and he's charismatic, and which is why his whole... It's why it makes his whole... ascent to power all the more chilling. But the problem is they show him here and he's basically a sideburned lion head lunatic from the beginning. And it's like, it's too obvious, man.
Kind of loses some of the effect.
Yeah. But again, like, again, they kind of did that with his first showing up in the original anime too. They kind of changed the design later on down the line, so maybe that's what will end up happening. I don't know. But anyway, other than that, you know, also the original Slayers, also Miss Kobayashi's New Dragon Maid. You guys have probably had come across that series somewhere online, at least at some point. It is legitimately hilarious. Also prepping for Memorial Day shit. Because, yeah, that's this weekend. Don't worry, I am going to be here Sunday. So,
okay.
Cool.
But yeah, we got to prep all that shit. And unfortunately, one of my uncles is going through one of the most unfortunate things that a middle-aged man can go through at this time.
What? Surprise baby?
No. Although it does involve something inside of him.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's got kidney stones.
Yeah.
Oh, that's worse than what I thought.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, and so basically he's been trying, and here's the thing about kidney stones. Most of the time with kidney stones, they will eventually pass through you in a couple days.
Yeah.
This one's been in him for about 5 days now. So,
yes, I'm gonna have
lots of water, lots of cranberry juice,
and probably some alcohol for good measure.
Yeah,
just a stick to bite down on.
Yeah.
Because holy shit, somebody once compared kidney stones to sort of like giving birth for men.
No. I've heard it's way worse. The women who have had it, women.
Yeah.
And, you know, their urethras are bigger. They're like, fuck that. This is nothing like giving birth.
Yeah.
Women think that it's worse.
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of like giving birth if, you know, the baby that's coming out of you is, like, covered in gravel.
Yeah.
That's kind of what a kidney stone feels like. Hmm. Fortunately, I basically drink a shit ton of fluids pretty much since the day I was born, so my kidneys are immaculate.
Hey.
Take your word for it. I don't need to see them.
Yeah.
I believe you, man.
All right. So, since Chris is still kind of dealing with stuff, we're going to go on and move on to everybody.
Seem to be going well for him.
No, he's apparently ready to kill all now.
Yep.
So, so we're going to talk about very quickly on everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. So, as I've talked about in the past, we Southerners don't fuck around when it comes to our food.
No.
We'll do everything from, like, your regular own fried chicken and mashed potatoes and cornbread and collard greens. And I don't know why my accent suddenly takes, like, a massive spike there when I do. It's just...
It's the mentioning of the collard greens.
Yeah, it's just, it comes, it's genetic. It just sort of starts coming out.
Say hog jaw.
Hog jaw.
Yes!
The proper way to say that would be hog jaw. But
yeah.
When you're talking about food, that comes out as hog jaw. So, but that, you know, that's just the regular shit. When we go hardcore, we fucking go hardcore. So, yeah. Like, for example, I've talked about such delicious delicacies that have come out of places like Texas, like the now famous chicken fried bacon. Right? But in my hometown of Georgia, you know, we in my home state of Georgia, we've come up with our own crazy shit, too. For example, we came up with the Luther.
What?
Yes.
The Luther Burger. By the way, this isn't that the Luther Burger is not the subject of this week's Random Factoid, but it does bear mentioning on the side. A Luther Burger is what happens when you take a regular cheeseburger, add bacon, and then you either take two glazed Krispy Kreme donuts to use as buns, or you take one Krispy Kreme donut, you cut it vertically, and then pop the two halves on the grill, you know, bread side down, and then use those as buns with the grill marks up.
Why? Why would you do this?
Why wouldn't you do this?
Because death?
You know, that's what they said on the Boondocks, too. Yeah, it's, you can't serve this food, Grandpa. It causes death. But, so what you need to know is this particular dish, the Luther Burger, was actually invented in a sports bar here in Georgia. Let's see. It's in Decatur, Georgia. Mulligan's. It's a sports bar that used to be over in Decatur. And it created, but it's not the only insane piece of lunacy that they created over there. There was another one, by the way, just very briefly. This is what the proper Luther Burger is supposed to look like. With a side of, I'm guessing those are onion rings. Or onion straws. Yeah, that's what a Luther Burger looks like. But no, that's not the only insane thing that place Mulligan's came up with. Because they came up with something that is even more insane. I would like to introduce to you probably the most just... Like, it's probably even worse than the Luther. Like, I know that sounds...
You've got my attention already, man.
Like, I know that sounds insane, but it is 100% worse than the Luther.
Oh, God.
I give you, with being held by its creator, the ham dog. All right, you ready for this?
No. I am very ready for this.
Oh.
All right, it is a hot dog that has been wrapped in a half pound of hamburger with bacon, cheese, and onion, which is then put on a hoagie roll, well, a hoagie bun or hoagie roll, which is then all deep fried and is then topped with a fried egg and two fistfuls of French fries.
Yes, please.
I feel my arteries closing already.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give you a minute to let all of that sink in.
No, no, don't let it sink in.
That's lame.
By the way, did I mention sometimes that they'll, like, cut the hot dog in half and add chili in the middle of it?
Oh. I need a kale smoothie after this.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is like, it's like, yeah, the Luther burger, that's like death. This is like concentrated death.
Yeah. Yeah. Luther burger is like, Luther burger is like Metallica. This is fucking Cannibal Corpse. Yeah, the Luther burger, you know, wants you to ride the lightning. Ham dog wants to smash your face in with a hammer.
Yeah, basically.
And then write a song about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, the ham dog.
You ride the lightning all the way to a coronary.
Basically.
Oh yeah, speaking of coronaries, there's a place that's out in Las Vegas called the Heart Attack Grill. Yeah, we got to talk about that one of these days.
I may be paying it a visit here in a few weeks.
Okay. Yeah. It's basically like Hooters, but, well, yeah. You'll see. That was Brandon's Random Factoid. Join us next week when we talk about the Heart Attack Grill, because it is worth talking about.
Yeah.
The only restaurant that will willingly sell you unfiltered cigarettes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so.
Tell them about the unadulterated fries.
Oh, yeah, the unadulterated fries. You know what? We'll save it for the show, because okay. That's almost a topic in and of itself.
Because, yeah. Yeah, guess who got Evo Weekend off?
Yeah. All right, so. As always, we have to start off with the show proper, and as with always is with the show proper, we have to start with our asshole of the week. And our asshole of the week is a police officers over in the state of Milwaukee who basically cornered a player for the Milwaukee Bucks over a parking violation.
Yeah.
And they tased his ass just over a fucking parking violation. Just, Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking
Scott Walker land there.
Yep.
Yeah, police getting a little excitable.
So since we got the time now, Chris, you want to tell us what your week's been up to other than, you know, a murderous death rage for Microsoft?
That just killed my everything.
Yeah, it's been a recurring theme throughout the show, so the people know.
I went and saw Solo this morning.
Yeah.
I've been told that it's kind of meh.
Oh, I really liked it.
Okay.
I thought Erden Einreich, whatever his name is, he's a really good Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
He just has kind of, he does a really good job sort of capturing that always arrogant and cocky kind of vibe
mm-hmm.
he has and resourcefulness. Especially in this part of his life where he doesn't have the experience to back it up.
Yeah.
And that is pretty interesting. The characters are pretty nice. Lando's obviously a standout with Donald Glover taking his the reins for that character.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it does some really good sort of set up for him
yeah,
as a character and placing it in the Star Wars universe, like the timeline at least.
Yeah.
Between 3 and 4. And though then certain things happen that either there is something kind of crazy going behind this that they kind of set up a sequel in a weird way that I don't know that I want, but I'm also just kind of curious. And yeah, like the droid they have in there, L3, Lando's droid mm-hmm. is great. And if you have a chance, look up the behind the scenes version of what that actor is wearing.
Mm-hmm.
So they can actually emote to like a physical version of that droid. Cause it is like the thing they did for Beauty and the Beast, the live action one. where it's this completely ridiculous looking beast. You applaud the woman that plays Belle, because how you not busting up laughing constantly is amazing. But yeah, and they managed to actually explain one of the silliest parts of Han's backstory from the first movie.
Is it the 12? Is it the whole thing about 12 parsecs?
Yeah.
Okay, what is it?
Explain that pretty well. I mean, they just show it.
Oh.
So, because obviously a parsec is not a measurement of
distance,
time, as they imply, but it's actually distance.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot more sense here, the way they show it. Though, then it's just like, okay, why is this a thing that is this like legendary thing? And also, they made Canonical one of the worst Star Wars games.
Oh God! Oh God! I'm prepared. Say it.
Well, do you have a guess?
I'm holding it in.
Star Wars Masters of Terras Kasi.
Ah, God! Sorry, Terras I just went to PTSD there for a second.
It is not anything like whatever the hell is in that game. But
oh, you mean Terras Kasi isn't just jumping through the air and hoping to land a punch?
Yeah. And very ugly characters that nobody knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually in the movie, and it's done pretty well.
Okay.
God.
But yeah, that was the most hilarious thing when they brought it up. I was like, oh my God, that game is canon now.
Well, Terras Kasi, that was already
canon. Terras Kasi is a martial art. Yeah.
Yeah.
That has been, it's just, unfortunately, everybody knows that term because of that fucking game.
Yeah. It's like an EU thing, but now it's not EU anymore.
Yeah.
It's now official. But yeah, it's really well done. And I really like how they set up Han winning the Millennium Falcon from Lando.
Yeah. Because
they kind of fake you out early on.
Hmm.
And then bring it back later. But yeah, it's really well done. And since we talked about the new Harvey Birdman special that's coming up later this year, I ended up watching a bunch of Harvey Birdman. I've watched all the way through season one, and I'm halfway through season two. I think the most recent episode I watched, what was in that one? It was the one with Reducto falling in love with the black woman with the big butt.
That he keeps increasing in size.
And he's really conflicted about.
And I'm like really fucking jealous of him. But
yeah.
Beautiful badonkadonk.
Yeah. He's like, don't touch me.
Yeah, and that whole sequence where he's making love to her.
Yeah.
He's like, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Okay, touch me. And it's some of the best stuff. And yeah, I think the best episode in the first season is the two-part episode where Falcone is made partner. And in sort of response, Harvey kills his dog companion, goes to prison, and over the course of like 5 years finds out it's all a setup for a birthday party.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of leave it hanging like, oh, you're not going to execute me? Not on your birthday. Ha ha ha. Then it ends. That show does really good dark humor.
Oh yeah.
As well as just, all right, here's the joke and we're done.
Mm-hmm.
No further explaining anything, because it's none of it means anything really. The only sort of permanence they have is just when Peanut comes in and eventually Bird Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, everything else can be just reset as much as they want. Which is great when they have the episode where Harvey wins the lawsuit for the plastic surgeon who botched a whatever it was for Droopy the dog. They're sitting there with the giant smiles like, boo hoo hoo. Well, the fucking ridiculous smile on him, and Harvey just haunted by it. Everybody else is getting free plastic surgery, He's getting tons of money. He gets a promotion, all that stuff. And then by the end, everybody has gotten so much plastic surgery, they're all completely different people. Even the hippo's like a human, just a purple human, I guess. That show is just great. They do a great job of pacing on that, just having episodes that are shorter, but they don't overstay the welcome.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really last. They don't let anything go too long unless that's the joke, like the Jetsons thing, where they cannot walk across his room. And it takes them a couple days to do it, and Judy gets killed by dogs.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. It's one of the best shows Adult Swim has.
Oh, yeah.
It's cool that they're bringing it back for at least one special, though. I think there's a lot they could do with it now, because there's a lot of stuff in there that dates it.
Mm-hmm.
Like with, what was the kid that got taken out of Miami back to Cuba?
Alien Gonzalez.
Yeah, there's a bit there with Boo Boo playing his role, being held by Yogi the Bear in the closet as they as somebody points a gun at him. There's a Sopranos reference with Fred Flintstone. It's like all this stuff is really good, but it really, really dates it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's been great. As for games, I've been playing Pixel Junk Monsters 2. I just unlocked earlier today, about noonish, and that's been good so far. I've been able to play the second episode, second level.
Mm.
And maybe the only issue I have is not really even an issue. It's just their manual mixes up things.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed this in the demo, and it seems like there's a few more entries that are mixed up. Maybe like, oh, here's one about range, and the description is not range, about the range of the towers. And it's mixed up with the one about selling towers and the other one about upgrading towers. It's like they just swapped this stuff around and didn't catch it because it's probably not something they constantly check for accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they set up and like, all right, we'll be back for this. Like, oh shit, we forgot this. The other issue I have is just, it'd be nice to have the level meters. I have a button to be able to just show that so you know what towers you might want to go to dance ahead to upgrade. That's a thing in the original. And that's not here. But I think they've said they're going to work on that stuff as far as in their first patch. I think co-op is another thing because people don't like that it kind of keeps everybody confined on one screen. Instead of being able to run around on the entirety of the map that is there, so that people can cover like maybe the beginning of the level where the enemies are coming in, other people will be able to, you know, spread out and keep an eye on their towers in the middle or by the end. And so that's something that people have been disappointed by. I don't play co-op, so it's not something that I would ever notice. But it seems like they've made the online co-op a lot better because you can just sort of host and have people join, which might make more sense to try and do some of that stuff maybe on the harder difficulties. But yeah, so far that's been pretty good. And I've also been playing Runner 3, which is the sequel to the third BitTrip Runner game. This is only on the Switch and PC right now. And I think it's coming to everything else probably in the next couple months. But that game is fucking hard. So 2 had difficulty settings.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's like easy, medium, hard kind of thing. Here they don't have that. So they kind of just have a baseline difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And a thing I would do in the original is just constantly jump over the checkpoint. Just try to do a whole level run without fucking up.
Yeah.
Which is not the best thing to do if you're trying to potentially get far enough to maybe review something. Because you're constantly just playing the same level over and over again for like an hour. It's like, no, I need to move on. So it's kind of trying to change the things I would do from the previous game just for the sake of progress. But yeah, it's pretty cool. The first world is kind of food stuff, but once you, the big thing they did is they just kind of made more branching paths in each level.
Yeah.
And so now that's kind of, it's kind of a 3D aspect to the levels now. It's still 2D in terms of the things you're doing, but there are forks that you approach.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have to push, I think, the right or left bumper to change lanes. The first time through, you can only go the one path. But once you beat it, you unlock the second path. So it kind of has the replayability there. But also along with that, there are harder paths. So like the second game, there are some points where, say, if you go up, it's the hard path. If you go down, it's the normal path. And if you go on the hard one, you will get usually gems. It's like a second currency they get. And that will pay for cosmetics, I think. I guess where you unlock the other characters from. Or you get to the retro levels or some of the harder stuff they add in there as well. But yeah, that's been also been pretty fun. And and also fuck Windows.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything was working fine until this like update happened. And it's one of those updates where it's like, oh, hey, do you want to update? And I have it set to do it in the middle of the night. So I was trying to ask for my input while I'm asleep, and I wake up, I'm like, no, we're not doing this, you fucking idiot. Then one time just stop letting me push it off.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, let's just fucking do this, and then you don't immediately check that everything is working. You just assume, oh, they didn't fuck anything up here. It's just another fucking update.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm on Skype on Windows 10 app. Which I didn't even know I had installed.
Yeah, that's the one I'm using, and it actually works. So,
yeah, okay. I guess this is the one I have to use now. So yeah, that was fun. spending like 20 minutes Google searching, sound not working in Windows 10. Like, there's all these people doing like the answer stuff on Microsoft's site, and it's like, that's not working.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it not working?
You got like random posts from 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's why I just limited to past week. And some of them worked. Like some of them involved like they literally just had the privacy stuff on, which turns off your mic to everything. It's like, you guys don't fucking front load this stuff. Say, hey, we changed privacy stuff. Use a mic. You maybe want to turn this stuff on.
Yeah.
But
especially in like Skype, which is it's you know that's the whole point of it.
Yeah, because I was looking in the Skype app and it's telling me, okay, you know your audio's good, you can hear things, your internet's okay, there's no webcam, okay, but it's telling me I can't access your sound card. It's like I don't have a sound card. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah,
and I got it fixed, and the little meter was saying, okay, we got sound from you, and it's like, but you can't hear anything. It's like, I just want to yell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Windows.
Then I've never played the game, but just makes me think of I Must Scream, But I Have No Mouth, or whatever the game's name is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it sounds good to
We'll see if this works on Sunday.
Yeah. All right. Well, so as before we had our little aside there, we were talking about the Milwaukee player who Bucks player who was basically tased by the Milwaukee cops for a parking violation. I think by now everybody should realize that we really need to go back and redo police training in this country. Because pretty much every cop in the United States is basically trained to be on the offensive pretty much all the time.
And to fear anybody that isn't white, pretty much.
Yeah. And basically, you know, they say in that, you know, their number one priority is going home at night, which...
Yeah, the weird thing is on the local news, or might have been local news,
mm-hmm.
he's talking about a cop who had a penchant for speeding. So much so when they're not, like, no emergency speeding. And so they showed a clip, I think this was in Tennessee, of him just speeding, and this old couple was taking a left turn across the traffic, and they just get fucking plowed by this cop. And the only reason why it probably did not make big national news is at least the driver, the old guy, did not have his seatbelt on. So he flies out of the side of his car. I guess they're okay because they showed video of them watching the crash afterwards, and they obviously did not react well to it. But then the people that were sort of following this story decided to get their own radar, like police radar thing, and follow this guy home. And he's fucking speeding, like going 60, 70 in a 40, getting onto the highway when it's 60 or 65 and he's going 110. And they tried to confront him as he gets home. And he's obviously not rolling down the window to talk to them. And it's like, that's the sort of entitlement that some of these cops have. It's just like, yeah, I'm a cop. I can do this. Especially when it comes to dealing with people of other races where they're just kind of taught to be on guard at all times. Take any small thing that they wouldn't necessarily freak out if it's a white person, but freak out if it's a black person. And yeah, this and this is just a crazy thing because it's obviously a person of interest to the entire state. He plays on one of the biggest teams in the state. Not a well-known player because he is a rookie who was drafted by a different team. So he wasn't in – he was drafted in the second round in the NBA, so he's not a big name. But, yeah, if you really want to see how you respond to this sort of thing, you should read the Milwaukee Bucks team statement, which is just a really good statement. I'll read a little bit here. The abuse and intimidation that Sterling experienced at the hands of Milwaukee police was shameful and inexcusable. Sterling has our full support as he shares the story and takes action to provide accountability. Fortunately, this isn't an isolated case. It shouldn't require an incident involving a professional athlete to draw attention to the fact that vulnerable people in our communities have experienced similar and even worse treatment. And there's more from there. And yeah, pay attention to how that statement is, and we'll talk about the NFL later and see stark differences.
Yeah.
Yeah, they put out the video, and the thing I didn't even need to watch it is seeing that the mayor of Milwaukee and the police chief were got out ahead of this thing, and they're like, "Yeah, this video looks really bad, and we're sorry." And it's like, at no point are you talking about the well-being of this guy that got tased for nothing. And like, this whole thing happened at 2 a.m. He was parked across the handicapped spots at a Walgreens. Like, those people are generally not going to be at a Walgreens in 2 a.m. You tell this guy, just move your car. And get out of here. At the worst, you give him a ticket.
Yeah.
You should not be trying to tackle him and tase him. And you're like, kill
him. Exactly.
And I've heard from people that actually watch it, and there's like a point where they realize they fucked up big time. There's also a point where they don't recognize him because he's not one of the big players on the team. They got quotes here. Sorry, I don't follow the Bucks. I didn't recognize you. I didn't recognize your famous name. He says, no, it ain't famous. It's legit. Yeah, you could have talked. You didn't have to touch. You initiated. Look at me. Look me up, Brown said at one point. Look me up. He also shot back, I don't know how to do that, so why don't you tell me? You've been to Mars. You've been to Venus. You've been to the moon. And later they said, if the guy hadn't been such a dick, it would have just been, hey, have a nice day, you know. But then I thought, okay, he's being an ass. He's trying to hide something. It's like, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
And also, also the guy that originally caught this guy in this call for backup and like had way more cars show up than he was expecting. It's like, I didn't need all of you. That's where you can tell like the cops are just bored. They are looking for something interesting to do and end up beating up on this guy.
All right. Well, so to wipe that bad taste out of our mouths, we got our Yeah, go ahead.
The punishments handed out.
Oh, God. Goes,
one guy got suspended for 2 days, one for like 5 and one for 10, something like that. Real small punishments.
Yeah, slap on the wrist.
It's like not even forced to resign.
Hmm.
Like that should be the bare minimum when you fuck up this big.
Yeah.
Like when everybody in the country knows you fucked up, there shouldn't be just a slap on the wrist.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so to wipe that bad taste out of our mouth, we've got our hero of the week. And our hero of the week is federal judge, Judge Renda Wright Allen, who decided, and remember, this is a federal judge, which means, that a transgender student has the right to, says that it's not so much that they said that they have the right, but that the lawsuit that they have against their school, that they should be allowed to go the to the bathroom of their identified gender. Some of y'all may not know this. This case actually went briefly up to the Supreme Court. I think they declined to do anything with it.
Yeah,
they did.
Yeah, this has been going on for a little while.
Yeah, and basically what the judge said is that your lawsuit can go forward. It's very likely that you will win. And she also signaled to the school's attorney, said, look, you can go to court over this if you want. You can present a case, but it's pretty, but it's like 6-1. You're probably going to lose.
Hmm.
Yeah, so if you've been following the sort of transgender bathroom issue in schools,
mm-hmm.
you probably know this kid.
Yeah.
He presented his issue at the school board meeting. You know, it was very polite, all that. All the people on the board were like, oh, hey, Gavin, I like to think we're friends now. You know, I respect you for talking about this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then proceeded to vote against him when they actually voted.
Yep.
Right after that, it's like, wow, that is fucking cold.
Mm-hmm.
To be real friendly to this kid about his issues and then say, no, fuck you.
Yeah.
But looks like this, it ain't ended. It's going on. I've heard people predict that it's probably going to go back to the Fifth Circuit or Fourth Circuit. It's going to be argued under Title IX, blah, blah, blah. So it's still got a ways to go.
Yeah.
But step forward, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, now.
Unfortunately, we have to make a federal case out of where this kid can go to the bathroom.
Yeah, because unfortunately that's how shit goes in the U.S.
Yeah.
We have to drag it out like this.
Hmm.
Because our system kind of fucking sucks in some areas.
Yeah.
But, anyway, so, now to start with the proper show proper, and the first story is the one that, let's face it, we all fucking saw coming. President Donald Trump decided to pull out of the North Korean summit.
Yeah, because he got butt hurt because of what one somebody from North Korea said.
Yeah. Because he's that fucking thin-skinned.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was rightfully calling them out because, was it Bolton? Saying,
yeah.
Oh, we're going to use the Libya model.
Which yeah.
Ended in that dictator being killed.
Ended in Gaddafi being killed in the middle of the streets, and now they're having the slave trade again. So
yeah.
Yeah. Look, Gaddafi was an asshole, but I'm just going to end it right there. But
Kim Jong-un is basically
dumb. Yeah.
Whether he was smart enough to realize that it was a threat remains to be seen, but that's basically when you say that's the model you're going with, there, you know, we all saw how it ended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see the letter?
I really don't want to. I'm pretty sure it's going to say stuff I'm going to find hard to.
This is how it ends, one of the paragraphs.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually kind of nice. He's being nice for a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he didn't actually write the whole thing, but he ends this paragraph. Let's see. Therefore, please let this letter serve to represent that the Singapore summit, for the good of both parties, but to the detriment of the world, will not take place. You talk about your nuclear capabilities, but ours are so massive and powerful that I pray to God they will never have to be used.
Again, it's the fucking dick waving contest.
Yeah. It's like,
no way he wrote that. Too many multisyllabic words.
Yeah. But he's like, you know, it's that whole my dick's bigger than your dick bullshit. And it's completely fucking useless.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but do you think that the people in North Korea aren't aware of America's nuclear capabilities? Because I can tell you, they are.
That's why they were building up their nuclear stuff.
Yeah. Which, by the way, they've apparently now destroyed.
Yep.
Yeah, we had journalists in their country as he wrote this letter saying, no, this is fucking off.
Yeah.
Which is maybe not the way to do it.
Now, before anyone starts to panic, don't panic just yet. Because doesn't mean that the peace deal still won't go through. It just means that South Korea is going to start cozying up more with the EU instead of the U.S.
Yeah.
And, because, I mean, the U.S.
quickly becoming that the EU is the real global power.
Yeah, and the U.S. has basically hung them out to dry. Hmm. Yeah. So, and of course, China is still going to be involved one way or the other. Yeah. Also, it's important to remember that basically North and South Korea have actually been doing everything to keep both the U.S. and China at arm's length during this process. Part of the reason they have to get the U.S. involved is because, well, the U.S. was the one that signed the ceasefire treaty way back after the Korean War. So,
yeah.
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
Now it's like, well, whatever.
Well, the reason they did was because South Korea was at that point in no, or at least the excuse is South Korea really wasn't in any state to deal with it, but.
Yeah, they are now.
So. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those commemorative coins that they were putting out, yeah, those.
Value of those tanked real quick.
Yeah. I swear, it's. You know, it's really weird when you've got a presidency that's also operating like a fucking infomercial channel. Like, it's the fucking home shopping network.
Yeah.
But anyway. So, in other political news, we had a bunch of primaries over here in the U.S.
Yep.
They were in my home state of Georgia, also Texas, Kentucky, and Arkansas.
Yep.
And
we have some winners and losers here.
Yeah.
Winner, the DCCC, Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee.
Yep.
Particularly because they decided not to support one of the Democratic candidates coming out in Texas 7 for the mm-hmm. House. It was a journalist named Laura Moser,
yep.
who had lived in D.C. for a long time, decided to return to her district after many years in D.C., mm-hmm. and they were not very confident in her ability
mm-hmm.
to win, and she ended up losing. So,
yep.
Yeah, so I think she got supported by the Our Revolution people, which is Bernie Sanders'
group.
People.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think they did very well.
The Our Revolution people, some of their other supporters did, including Stacey Abrams.
Yeah.
Who was the winner of the Democratic primary in my state.
Yeah.
And she could be our first black woman governor. So,
yeah. So, see, loser, the GOP mobilization strategy.
Yeah, it fucking tanked.
Yeah,
and these are mostly like rural southern states we're talking about here. So,
yeah there is these are sort of hotbed Republican states that
mm-hmm.
they should be able to get what they want pretty easily, but surprisingly, they did not have much luck.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what will happen when people actually show up.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they also have a list here, loser, Our Revolution, mainly because some of their big candidates for the House did not do well at all. But obviously they got Stacey Abrams, who won the Democratic nomination for governor in Georgia,
mm-hmm.
Which is obviously a big thing.
Oh, yeah, it's a big thing.
Especially having it be kind of a racial thing.
Yeah, I mean, our governors have basically been nothing but crusty-ass white men for the last, well, ever, so.
Yep. Yeah, and though I guess it was the lieutenant governor most recently that was, like, getting fed up with Delta.
Yeah.
And the NFL and all that sort of stuff. It's like, yeah, you're an old guy, old white guy. We can easily tell with this, the way you're reacting like a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, winner, they have Medicaid expansion.
Yep.
Yeah, Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson held off a primary challenge from a former television journalist, most famous for establishing her gun range as a Muslim-free zone.
Yeah. Don't forget, yeah. There are still, like, blue dog far-right Democrats down here. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Loser, Georgia Republicans.
Yeah, no fucking kidding.
Yep. So yeah, I guess in the governor race on the Republican side, nobody won outright.
No.
It's partly because
there's all these, like, fringier dudes that have taken a good chunk of the vote away from the establishment.
And they're going strictly for the Trump people.
Yeah, like, for example, the infamous guy with the deportation bus.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the record, he lost badly.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... The thing that will definitely help Stacey Abrams is the fact that now these two guys, Casey Cagle, the lieutenant governor.
Casey Cagle and Brian Kemp, yeah.
Secretary of State are kind of have to take shots at each other for the next month or two before they finally make a decision on who is the nominee there.
Yeah.
So she kind of gets a free pass for a while, be able to just take both of them down if she wants.
Yeah. I think if you look at what's going down in Georgia right now, you're kind of seeing a kind of a microscopic view of what's going on with the GOP in general.
Yeah.
It's sort of this battle between the establishment type GOP and then the fringier sides, and like both sides is trying to ride the, you know, the Trump bull and not fall off of it.
Hmm.
Yeah. And we're frequently seeing a lot of the Trump people just trying to prove who sucks his dick the most.
Yeah. And apparently it's not really doing that well. No.
Yeah, because there's probably a good enough amount of people that are like, yeah, this Trump thing isn't going how we thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now they don't want candidates that are like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be exactly like him.
Mm.
It's like, oh, that's not going to go well.
Yeah.
And their last winner is Black Democrats.
Yep.
There have been a lot of minority people winning districts for their primaries, which is a great thing, especially in these southern states.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff going heading into the fall when hopefully
the blue wave comes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then with the blue wave is then the red wave that will follow. And I'm not talking about Republicans.
Yeah, because once they
ESA!
Yeah, once they start losing power, it'll be interesting to see how they respond.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a whole thing of the Trump thing isn't really working and they've run out the establishment.
Yeah.
It's like, who the hell is left?
Hmm.
It's
the true believers and the nutcasers. Yeah.
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 Because it's like a lot of Democrats are kind of going to the point of like, we're the reasonable people and here's the Bernie people.
Yeah.
And some of them are like the fake Bernie people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They want to act like they are open to all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then you realize, oh, this is Dennis Kucinich who doesn't believe half of this stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody wants him to come back in any form or shape.
Yeah. But, all right. So, moving on to our next story. So, you remember, I think it may have been a couple months back, we were talking about how people were actually going to file suit against President Trump saying that he cannot block people on his Twitter because it would violate the First Amendment.
Yeah.
Well, federal judge certainly agrees because he just ruled this week that Trump can't block people on his Twitter.
Yep. It's a First Amendment thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Essentially preventing people from being able to see what the president says.
Yeah.
because his accounts are federal
property, basically.
Property, I guess. They're under federal control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which should also mean the same for anybody in Congress, any of the various other parts of federal...
Basically anybody in federal or state government is...
Should be unable to block people.
Yeah. On their Twitter, yeah.
Yep. And
they made the distinction, though, between blocking and muting, which is an important one to bring up.
Yeah,
because blocking prevents the people from actually viewing your content.
Yeah. Muting just makes it so you can't comment.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And obviously, dumbass is like, yeah, but all you have to do is go in incognito mode. It's like, yeah, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is the president is directly saying these people are not allowed to view his content.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that's not...
Especially when you consider the fact that he often uses his Twitter to announce, you know, policy decisions that he's fixing to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so for this article, ABC News actually got the tweets of the plaintiffs that got them blocked by by the president. So,
oh, this should be good.
Yeah, so Rebecca Buckwalter Poza, a writer and legal analyst from D.C., she was blocked on June 6, 2017. Let's see the president's tweet. Sorry, folks, but if I would have relied on fake news of CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, Watch Post, or NY Times, I would have had zero chance of winning. She replied, to be fair, you didn't win the White House. Russia won it for you.
That's savage.
She got retweeted 3,300 times, and she's basically about doubled her followers.
So that means it's open season, doesn't it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, you can say whatever you want, like you could before to any other president. Yeah. They just didn't have to listen to you. Let's see. We've got Philip Cohen, a sociology professor at Maryland. Blocked on that same day, June 6th, 2017. See, Trump tweeted, hashtag ICYMI, which is in case you missed it. Announcement of Air Traffic Control Initiative, watch. And link to announcement on the initiative. Cohen responded by tweeting a photo of Trump with the words superimposed on it, reading, corrupt, incompetent, authoritarian, and then there are the policies. Resist. He was expelled from the president's account to 15 minutes. It's 307 likes, 35 retweets. Yeah, modest amount of follower increase from about 10,000 to 12,000. Holly Figueroa, a political organizer and songwriter from Seattle, May 27th, 2017. See, Trump's tweet, British Prime Minister Theresa May was very angry that the info the UK gave to the US about Manchester was leaked. Gave me full details! Exclamation point. Figueroa responded by tweeting an image of Pope Francis looking incredulously at Trump, along with the statement, "This is pretty much how the whole world sees you." 15,000 people liked her tweet, and your followers are almost doubled, 87,000 to 156,000.
I'm
noticing a pattern here.
Yeah, yep. Dr. Eugene Gu, a surgeon at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, June 18th, 2017. Let's see. The new Rasmussen poll, one of the most accurate in the 2016 election, just out with a Trump 50% approval rating. That's higher than O's, as in Obama's numbers. Gu replied, Kofefe. puzzling word used in a previous tweet. The same guy who doesn't proofread his Twitter handles, the nuclear button.
Yep.
And it got retweeted 239 times. And his followers ran from 9,000 to 180,000. So he got a huge bump out of that.
Big bump. Nice.
Let's see. Houston police officer Brandon Neely, a veteran of the Iraq War and a former guard at Guantanamo Bay, got blocked on June 12th, 2017. Let's see. Trump tweeted, congratulations. First new coal mine of Trump era opens in Pennsylvania. And they replied, congrats, and now Black Lung won't be covered under Trump care.
Oh, nice.
Retweeted 341 times, and his followers grew from 6,700 to 9,087. So a little bit. Joseph Pep, a former professional road cyclist and anti-doping advocate from Ohio, blocked on June 5th, 2017. Trump tweeted a video of his weekly presidential address with the hashtag Hashtag weekly address. Pat responded, tweeting, "Greetings from Pittsburgh, sir. Why didn't you attend your Pittsburgh not Paris rally in D.C., sir?" Which you got blocked for that. 335 likes. And his followers grew from 11,000 to about 15,000. Finally, Nick Pappas is a comedy writer from New York. Got blocked on June 5th, 2017. President tweeted, "The Justice Department should ask for an expedited hearing of the watered-down travel ban before the Supreme Court and seek much tougher version!" Exclamation point. He responded, "Trump is right. The government should protect the people. That's why the courts are protecting us from him." Retweeted 395 times, and followers grew from 37,000 to 60,000. So, yeah. Those are the people that got a federal judge to rule about the president's use of Twitter. It's a 2018 thing.
Well, that makes sense.
The only bad thing about this is now those people are like, wasn't banning me from Twitter violating my free speech? It's like, nope. Twitter's not the government. That's just you being an asshole. Nobody has to listen to you because you're an asshole.
All
right.
Speaking of assholes.
As everybody knows, the NFL has had their controversy over kneeling for the national anthem instead of standing. So the NFL, after basically, I mean, they were supportive for a little while, I guess, and they finally made their decision on how to deal with it, and they probably just made it worse because they forgot to involve the players' union in the discussion.
And their solution is basically the worst one you could have. Because essentially their statement suggested that, you know, if you don't want to stand for the national anthem, you can go sit in the locker room. Essentially being like the exact opposite of what people were doing. Also suggesting that, you know, they were disrespecting the flag. Just completely buying into that stupid narrative, which was not what any of them were doing. As well as just being a way of just trying to fight a message of a reasonable message of wanting better treatment for, you know, black people, you know, Latinos, Muslims, Asians, all that by the police. That'd be a reasonable one I think most people would be in support for. But people are stupid. And could not handle the fact that people did this when they were on TV during the national anthem. And the other thing is that the whole reason the NFL is in this situation is because of the government. Starting about 2009, the Department of Defense paid the NFL to have these grandiose fake patriotic displays. Having the, you know, the big flag across the entire field, bringing out members of the military, doing all this over-the-top stuff, having the flyovers, all that sort of stuff. Before that, the players just sat in the locker room, waited until that was done and came out afterwards. So that would have been maybe the best solution, just have them stay there. Have it like, oh, if you want to, you can come out. If not, you know, stay in the back. That's just basically, you know, segregating these people in a really stupid way. It just shows the NFL has not paid attention to anything that the players have been saying.
NFL is an organization that I think time is waning, to be brutally honest.
At least with the current ownership of the various teams. Two teams whose owners kind of spoke out about this. The 49ers owner, Jed York, basically said he abstained from the vote because he did not believe this is the right solution. And the Jets, one of the Jets' minority owners, basically said he's going to pay for any fines if his players wanted the knee anyway. So those two guys, you know, thumbs up. Otherwise, Yeah, the NFL Players Association, their union was not involved in any of this. Like, oh yeah, hey. Well,
that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe talking to the players would be a nice solution.
Yep.
Get their feedback, find out what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Because just making solutions just through the ownership groups is probably the wrong way to go about it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this is the organization that doesn't really give a fuck whether their players get, you know, smacked upside the head repeatedly. So
yeah, they're trying to do things. They changed the how kickoffs are done, which makes them a bit more like the punts.
Hmm.
So it's a little bit weird trying to wrap my head around that stuff when you see it, because they just show a version of the, like, an overhead shot of the field. It's like, okay, in this range, like, you can't actually block the other players. Nobody's allowed to, like, move before the kickoff. It's a lot of weird stuff. Eventually, they're just going to get rid of it, because it's, like, one of the most damaging parts of the game.
Yeah.
They also, you know, look at how the NBA has handled this. They don't let their players kneel.
Mm-mm.
Every time I see people argue about this, I was like, the NBA has this rule. It's like, yeah, but they also fucking support their players. They actually talk to their players about these issues. And so you see players come out with, I think a number of players after, who was the I Can't Breathe guy?
I forgot his name, but I know him.
Yeah, a number of players came out with that on their shirts. They were not punished or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the NBA knows their players are known entities and are, you know, people are fans of them for their personalities as well as their ability to play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And they let them speak their minds and work with them in their charities and all that sort of stuff to let them do good things.
Yeah.
And the players do some of that stuff. But the way the NFL handles it, they don't want them to do any of that, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think after Pat Tillman passed away over in Iraq, there were players that wanted to have, you know, stickers on their helmets or on their, you know, message on their shoes or whatever in support of his family and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And the NFL fined them because it was not approved uniform changes, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you fucking idiots. You are learning the wrong things.
Yeah.
It's like, you gotta treat the people in your league like people, not employees that are trying not to do any work.
Because
they're not. They're putting their lives on the line just for your ability to make billions of dollars.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing this stuff in fear of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Because guess what happened after this came out? It's like, basically said, you know, if anybody, you know, wants to kneel during the national anthem, they should be kicked out of the country. It's like,
yep,
this is what you guys fully endorsed.
Yep.
You fucking idiot owners. You gave in to him, and now he wants even more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you don't deal with idiots. Let them be angry, like, let's say, a certain group of video game fans that are angry about women coming into their game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, right, what the fuck do you expect the developers to do? Oh, sorry, we'll take the women out of the game so the women don't have cool avatars to play with.
Mm. Right, whatever. Alright, so, next up. Elon Musk has decided that he wants to create a site to let the public rate the media. This is...
Speaking of stupid billionaires.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been going a little off the reservation lately.
It seems like he just likes the freestyle.
Yeah.
On his Twitter account, just talk about weird chicks. He also talked about, like, I'm going to start a chocolate company. It's like, okay, that's a weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that.
You've got a lot of fuck you money. I guess you can do whatever you want, but
why
don't you focus on, you know, Tesla and maybe the employees there that are not having a great time.
Maybe you can go back and get someone to freaking fix PayPal.
Yeah.
He's cashed out of that. So.
It's like the whole idea of essentially having Yelp reviews for journalists.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it'd be more like Google reviews than Yelp. Because Yelp is really insidious. They will damn near blackmail you into taking off bad reviews.
I'm sure certain people would like that.
You have to pay for it. They're really, really bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, go look at Metacritic user reviews and tell me that people don't like their biases dictate how they review things.
Exactly.
And then take that the next level to being people who write about news and politics, where that stuff is even worse and more toxic.
Yeah. You see what he wants to call this enterprise?
Pravda.
What?
Which is Russian for truth.
Yeah, that was the official. That was the official state paper of the Soviet Union,
which is still running, by the way.
Yeah, it still technically exists.
Yeah,
it just long since.
Hmm. Yep, musty! No, 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 no.
Yeah, he's like registered this stuff already. It's like, oh god, no, just no.
Yeah, there's somebody here. Let's see. I was policy lead at Data for Democracy. Is quoted as saying, "Elon's next company, rate my professor, but for journalists. What a great idea that won't be gamed immediately in extremely predictable ways."
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like, hey, Facebook used to be about rating women's looks at Harvard.
Face smash, but yeah,
that's what
started that.
Yeah, that was the whole start of that thing. I was like, maybe we should get away from this a little bit.
Yep.
Now it's just about stealing all your info. Because you give it, not even stealing, because you give it to them.
Right.
People just willingly give it to them.
Yeah. All right. So, next story is, we're going to give you a simple question. Who's at fault when someone crashes into you?
Well, it depends on where you are and where they are.
Yes. But, yes, yeah, so here's the thing. Who is at fault when, hold on, a four-wheeler, you guys know what a four-wheeler is, right? ATV?
A car.
Yep.
Sorry, trucking people in here, huh?
It's a truck. $90 million verdict says the truck.
So wait, what happened here now?
All right, so...
An ATV and a pickup truck?
Well, it was a car. Not an ATV.
Okay.
A fatal accident took the life of one child, paralyzed another, and caused extensive injury to two other passengers. The accident report found that a truck driver involved was not at fault. But now, a jury has ordered Werner Enterprises to pay the family $90 million because of the crash.
So, do we have a dashboard cam or something here?
It's a truck, so...
Driver might have had one. They don't mention it in this report. But what they do mention is the fact that it was kind of shitty weather, really shitty weather. The pickup truck lost control and ended up swerving into the oncoming lane, which ended up hitting the pickup truck. And the truck driver the big truck he was going under the speed limit because he was basically, from what I gather, trying to get himself to a truck stop as soon as possible because he didn't want to be in that weather. So, yeah, he was staying in his lane. He wasn't weaving. He was basically trying to drive as safe as possible. And the car that... they lost control and crashed into him. Just basically a very unfortunate accident.
Yeah.
Seems like an unfortunate situation all around.
This is an act of nature.
Pretty much.
Yeah, they say
if
here...
the truck wasn't there, the pickup truck would have ended up in the ditch or off a cliff. You know, it's basically... basically this jury is saying, we're going to blame you because you were there.
Yeah.
Like they have to blame somebody.
Yeah.
That's maybe the problem with this.
Yeah.
Next, it says here the attorney for the kids' parents, I guess, claimed that the driver did not have access to basic safety equipment such as outside temperature gauge or CB radio, which would have alerted him to dangerous road conditions at the time.
Nobody uses CBs anymore.
Yeah, and it's also like people have things like jobs that maybe don't allow for people to really take off during bad weather, or they might not be in the right situation where they can take a day off.
Mm-hmm.
In that sort of situation where they have to try to tough it.
Yeah. And secondly, I don't think you need a temperature gauge to realize when it's blowing snow.
I'm sure he knew that when he got in the car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he would have been able to spot that. It's
No, he just put all his clothes in the dryer, and as soon as he got them all back on, it's nice and hot, he just jumped right in the car and was like, all right, it's not cold out. I'm hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it really sucks because you kind of get the sense that, well, this jury is basically saying, well, it doesn't matter if you do everything right, you can still get sued.
Yeah, because our system kind of sucks in certain places.
Yeah.
Well, and where do they think the money from Werner is going to come from? It's going to come from the consumers who are paying for the goods that need to be moved, and also from all of the other drivers who are going to get their mileage rates slashed, so mm-hmm. you know they're not running in the red for the next four quarters.
Yeah. Well, they're going to appeal, so
yeah.
As they obviously should.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I should probably mention where this happened, because it should probably clarify things a little bit better. Odessa, Texas.
Oh.
I know that from Heroes.
All right, well.
Yeah, Texas.
And a little bit of dark humor, there's an ad for trucking jobs at the bottom of this article for me. It's like,
well, it's a trucker's website, so.
Yeah. But also like, oh, hey, here's a guy who's obviously going to be out of a job. Hey, you want his job? Yeah. Sign up mm-hmm. here.
I don't think they're going to fire him, honestly.
Yeah. All right.
But you may not want to even drive after that.
No, right. A lot of people would lose their nerve after that.
Yeah.
All right, so this next story, you know what, it's only like four short paragraphs, so I'll just go ahead and read the whole thing, all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
A man in Ohio realized the downside of bringing home the bacon. Who wrote this?
CBS.
CBS, they don't even have a byline. Screw you people. A man in Ohio realized the downside of bringing home the bacon when a pig wouldn't stop following him on his way home early Saturday morning. Police in Elyria, Ohio, say they thought the unidentified man must have been drunk or hallucinating when he called for backup after failing to shake the swine. The North Ridgeville Police Department said they received the call at 5:26 a.m. Saturday morning. Upon arrival, they discovered the man, who was totally sober, but still being followed by the pig near the city's Amtrak station. An officer loaded the pig into his police cruiser and eventually returned it to its owner. A department spokesperson told CBS News the pig's name was Zoe.
Zoe the pig, huh?
Yeah. And quoted, also, we will mention the irony of the pig in a police car now so that anyone that thinks they're funny is actually unoriginal and trying too hard, the department said in a Facebook post.
God.
Well, at least they're getting ahead of that one.
Yeah, this is like a good thing that happens in the middle of the night for the police. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They actually do have a picture of the pig in the back seat.
Which looks demonic.
Yeah, because it's got that weird sort of glowy effect on its eyes and face from the camera.
Looks like a ghost pig.
Yeah.
I've come back from the dead because you ate my bacon.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, whoever was on staff to write this better be glad they didn't put their name on the byline, because otherwise I would mock them until my dying day.
It looks like a general
press release version of the story. Oh, they knew what they were doing when they didn't have a byline.
Like an ABA report or something like that.
Yeah.
All right. Next up in just what the hell news. So for those who don't know, we've been having some kind of relatively stormy weather down here down south. Because, you know, it's changing over from May into June, and so all that summer weather starts coming in.
Yep.
And so there's plenty of rain and thunder to go around. And down in Florida, over at Lake Worth, they had a power outage. And obviously, whenever you have an issue like this, they'll send out, you know, automated alerts you know, or warnings like, okay, there's potential for tornado, power outage over here, you know, severe weather. But for some reason, while they were warning about the zombie, about the crap, I already gave it away, didn't I?
About the power outage?
Yeah, it said, oh, yeah, by the way, there's a zombie alert as well.
Yep. It's in Lake Worth and Terminus, Florida.
Yep.
Hmm. Terminus. It's like the Walking Dead.
Yeah, power outage and zombie alert for residents of Lake Worth and Terminus. There are now far less than 7,380 customers involved due to extreme zombie activity. Restoration time uncertain.
Yep.
City, yes, I don't know if this is marketing or what's going on.
I wouldn't be surprised, though. I'm going to guess this is like an, this was like an automated thing that went out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an automated thing.
I don't know how they would have like that as an option.
Well, it could have been like it could have been something they would have had for like around Halloween or something.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But anyway, the city spokesman, Bob Kerr, later posted a Facebook message saying officials were investigating the bogus alert and that he wanted to, quote, reiterate that Lake Worth does not have any zombie activity currently.
I love how he qualifies it.
Currently?
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody might be doing a lot of meth and turn into a zombie at some point.
The fact that he actually has to say that.
Yeah. Florida.
Yeah, Florida. All right, well, next story is a hockey story. So, Pat, or did Pat have a hard out?
Pat already went out.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Basically, very quickly, the Vegas Golden Knights defied all expectations to reach the Stanley Cup Finals. Pat says, I said from the start they were going to be better than they had any right being.
Yeah, so, obviously the Vegas Golden Knights are the newest expansion team in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very weirdly really good.
Yep.
They've reached the finals, which never happens in any of the major sports in North America.
Mm-hmm.
Not with an expansion team, no.
Yeah, the only other time they mentioned this in this article that it's happened was when the NHL expanded from 6 to 12 because they had a 50% chance of one of those new teams reaching it. And that was probably also because all the talent on those six teams was not all of the good hockey players around.
Yeah.
I assume a lot of people came in. But yeah, essentially the way expansion stuff goes in the major sports here in North America is that all the existing teams are allowed to protect, you know, a certain amount of their best players.
Mm-hmm.
And typically it's enough that they're not giving up anybody of real note. But for the Vegas Golden Knights, for whatever reason, that number was pretty low. So the Vegas Golden Knights not only were able to pick up a lot of pretty good players from these teams, they were also doing a really good job of trades, taking on like bad contracts from other teams in exchange for, you know, picks, or doing all that sort of wheeling and dealing and taking advantage of their expansion status to get like favorable deals.
Mm-hmm.
And that just led to them having a team that was full of good to pretty good players that works out really well in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not how that works in any other league. Mm-hmm. We need really good players to be at least the core of your team. Whereas the NHL, you can have a solid team full of good players and that will do really well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so they mentioned like the how other expansion teams have done. The best expansion team for the NFL was the Carolina Panthers that went 7-9 in 1995. Mm-hmm. And yeah, see, two of the teams that joined the league after it took its modern form in 1970 have won a Super Bowl in the 48 years since then, as far as expansion teams are concerned.
Wow. Not
many. Yeah, it's a lot of the existing teams that have won it because they just do not make it easy at all for teams to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Major League Baseball, basically nobody's ever been halfway decent.
Nope.
Let's see, the 1961 Angels, I don't know which city they were in, rather the LA Angels of Anaheim,
mm-hmm.
which is a really stupid naming thing. They're a pretty decent team, but still sub 500.
Mm-hmm.
They lost 91 games out of 162. So they were somewhat close, but not really. That's the best that any baseball team has been in their first season. NBA, nobody's ever gone 500. And everyone except the 1967 Bulls, which had a 40.7 win percentage, was outright terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Because the NBA really relies on you having star players to be halfway decent. And no expansion team is going to have that unless they luck out.
Mm.
Like the Oklahoma City Thunder, which they weren't really expansion. They were the Supersonics that moved. But they had Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook isn't what he was now, but Durant was pretty good and grew into a great player. But yeah, they talk about some of the other fringe leagues. Like, those are all kind of just small enough that it doesn't really count. But yeah, they just
basically win this year.
Yeah. And they're going up against the Washington Capitals, who is a team that has basically choked every chance they had of being good. Much so that like the local media has called that the choking dog era.
Mm-hmm.
Since 98, I think, was the only other time they've been in the finals, and they got swept by the Detroit. Mm-hmm. And basically, the only other chance they would get to the second round the last few years against Pittsburgh and would get destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they were like the best team in the league, supposedly. It's like they had major, just really bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
And this year they kind of finally broke through that, faced the Lightning in the conference championships, and managed to force a game 7 and win. Which now those fans are kind of like, well, this is as far as we've ever gotten in 20 years. So if we win the whole thing, that's great. If not, it's still pretty good for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas the Vegas fans are like, holy shit, how the hell are we doing this?
How the hell did this happen?
Yeah, like, just to give you an example of how new/old they are, the Vegas shooting happened right before their season started.
Yeah.
And obviously nothing happened as a result of that. But that's how they started off their season, as far as like honoring those victims for the first few games, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a whole crazy sports thing.
Yeah, very crazy.
Yeah. All right. So now we're going to start the entertainment portion of the show. First things first, we now know what the next Lego movie is going to be called. It's going to be called The Lego Movie 2, the second part.
That's pretty much
I
all.
I see what they did there.
But it's a great name.
Yeah. Yeah. We pretty much know it's going to involve the Duplo blocks. I mean, if you watch the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
they pretty much set it up that way. So.
Yeah.
And that's out next February.
And it will probably be some sort of allegorical story about the boy trying to get along with his kid's sister or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it'll be incredibly charming and
heartwarming, and you won't care. It'll be far better than it has any right to be, just like the last one.
Yeah, and like that Lego Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was really
good. That wasn't so good.
All right, and now for those of you who don't know, of course, Solo came out this week, as Chris already talked about, and so obviously now that movie's out, people are already talking about what's going to be the next Star Wars story, and one of them, at least, we know is going to be by James Mangold, who's going to write and direct a movie about none other than everybody's favorite bounty hunter, Boba Fett.
All right.
Who had a total of 5 lines in the original trilogy, and one of them was, ah!
Yeah. He's still getting digested in the
Sarlacc. Yeah, he's still being eaten by the Sarlacc.
Yeah.
If you do not know James Mangold, he co-wrote and directed Logan.
Mm-hmm.
So he has chops for making some great stuff. He's going to be co-writing this with Simon Kinberg, who wrote a lot of the X-Men movies, as well as The Martian, is working with him, and they both work together on Logan.
Mm.
What else did he work on? He did Walk the Line, the Johnny Cash biopic.
Mm-hmm.
He did Night and Day, the Tom Cruise movie, and the Western 310 to Yuma.
Hmm.
So he's got some good work on his resume.
Mm-hmm.
These odd Star Wars movies are turning out to be actually pretty good.
Yeah, it turns out when you don't have the weight of multiple trilogies of stories that you have to tell, you can do some really cool and interesting stuff.
Yeah.
When you don't have to just tangentially, you know, link into that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not just it also means that, you know, you don't have to do all this expanded universe bullshit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're constantly having to go about, okay, what's canon, what's not canon.
Yeah, and you also don't have to worry about appeasing man babies.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things is Mark Hamill continues to push the notion that his character did not die at the end of the last movie.
Mm.
That he just teleported to a nude planet.
Yeah.
A nude planet.
And he just keeps he showed the toy that proves this. It's the robe and the rock that he was on. And it's the great thing that Mark Hamill likes to troll people about that stuff. But yeah. So they're looking at the spin-off stuff. This could be interesting. We know kind of both parts of his story, because he is a clone of his father.
Mm-hmm.
One that didn't get the aging stuff, so he's able to just grow up like a normal kid.
Yep.
And that he dies by falling into a Sarlacc pit.
Well, now. That's and what he's kind of think.
Yeah.
But the extended universe books, he used his Mandalorian jetpack and got out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's not a spoiler by now. I mean, geez, that's from the 90s, if not sooner.
That's also extended universe. There's lots of weird shit in there. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, what happens to Luke's hand after somebody finds it? They grow a fake Luke. I think it has two U's in his name. It's Luke. It's like two or three. It's like the fucking weirdest shit.
Yeah.
So I think Obi-Wan Kenobi is the other one that has been rumored a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They have Stephen Daldry in negotiations to direct it. I have no idea who that is.
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up real quick. He's done a lot of Broadway. Billy Elliot. He did that movie, Trash, The Reader, The Hours, 8, a short film.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing the film adaptation of Wicked.
Huh.
So interesting. He's done a lot of like Broadway stuff, so that's weird.
Yeah.
Broadway and like theater stuff.
Yeah.
This could be interesting. At least as far as like being an action movie, this would be a perfect fit.
Mm-hmm.
I assume we'll see some of those other bounty people, like Bosk, like all the weird shit that the really nerdy Star Wars people know all those names. Yeah. I just know Bosk because that's like the fucking stupidest name.
Yeah.
We took the word boss and added a K to it. That's his name.
Yeah.
Well, next. All right, these next two stories I'm going to kind of string together because
they're kind of both two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, so Fox is signing a 5-year, $1 billion deal with WWE to bring SmackDown Live to Fox. At the same time, ESPN is signing a 5-year, $1.5 billion deal with the UFC for entire rights package.
Yeah, so these two things that are happening is because they are live TV. They're not that fit for DVR in terms of how people talk about it. People react to that stuff on Twitter and Facebook and all that, and that's kind of a big deal for them to sort of follow this live and comment on it and, you know, obsess about it. The hilarious thing is that the show after this stuff came out for WWE involved a segment where one of the wrestlers named Bobby Lashley, his opponent, Sami Zayn, was doing a bit where he was talking to his supposed sisters, which were just three male wrestlers in drag talking shit about him in a segment that I kept seeing people say was the worst of the year, the worst since the terrible segment they had last year.
Yeah.
Involving a woman wrestler named Bailey. It's like, oh, hey, here's what you paid $1 billion for, Fox. Enjoy.
And keep in mind, WWE has had some real serious stinkers over the years.
Yeah, and one of the major storylines is a wrestling feud between AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura, who are at the moment just kicking each other in the nuts. That's their thing. They ended the match because they kicked each other in the nuts at the same time and could not get up in time for a 10 count. That's how they ended a pay-per-view match. And it's like, this is really great and stupid, but also, what the fuck?
$1 billion, Fox.
Yep.
$1 billion.
But yeah, they essentially got this deal from NBC Universal because they kind of declined on the SmackDown thing. And the weird thing is that this is such a huge increase that it essentially probably makes the WWE profitable now. Especially when it comes to things like the WWE Network, which was kind of in a weird spot where it was doing fine, but not really growing any sort of big way. That would it was kind of pushing them to try to, you know, improve all the features in there and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, it was, now this kind of takes a lot of pressure off of them in an interesting way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess Raw will still remain on USA for the time being. But, yeah, people were kind of hoping at some point that WWE would make a – when they made their new TV deals that they would be able to get that stuff either simultaneously airing live on WWE Network or being a lot faster. I think it's 30 days currently. You have to wait to watch the daily stuff. It's like that's too long. Ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But so if those people are paying just for the pay-per-views anyway, so it's not that important.
Yeah.
All right. So
then UFC is kind of a similar thing. They're expanding their how many fights they're getting. They're getting 30 UFC fight night events per year, which I guess each of those includes about 12 bouts. And that includes 10 main cards on ESPN's television networks. The other 20 will stream on ESPN Plus, their new streaming service. And that just sort of continues their partnership with the UFC. And that starts, I think both of these start next year, 2019.
Yeah.
And ESPN networks will air the preliminary bouts prior to their pay-per-views. So there'll be that aspect to it as well.
Yeah.
So if you like dudes punching other dudes, there's about $2.5 billion spent this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, just for the record, if you want to know of some other like infamous stinkers that the WWE has had, go online and look up for someone called the Shockmaster.
Oh, there's a huge list of WWE bad things.
It's basically just Mark Tugboat Ottman wearing a Stormtrooper helmet that's been covered in glitter.
Yeah, there was one point WCW was trying to have a wrestler named Glacier, I think it was. That's basically a Mortal Kombat ninja. Did not go well at all.
Is that the blonde, tall, blonde German-looking dude?
Yeah,
the area. No, he was actually pretty popular.
Yeah, he did fine, but not to what they were hyping him up to be.
No.
Like the Kiss Demon was a wrestler for WCW.
Mm-hmm.
What else? There's, I think they had a Terminator. Did they? Something like that.
Saying Clown Posse was there for some reason.
Yeah.
That was part of their cruiserweight stuff. But probably one of the worst things they were trying to do is they're trying to do a plot about Muslim wrestlers trying to hijack a plane. This was going to happen before 9/11 happened.
Yeah.
So that happened, like, oh shit, we have to scrap this idea. They didn't start it yet. That was in the works. Yeah. It's like, oh, this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Real bad.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on from there, HBO, we know that they're going to be doing a series based on Watchmen. And it's going to be a remix of the original story, which is definitely the way to go. because yeah. part of the problem that the other one did, the movie version, was that it was almost a panel by panel reproduction of the original of the book.
And
so
changed like much. The very end was the one thing that was different
for frankly no reason at all.
Yeah, as me not having any context for that, I was like, yeah, this seems fine. I don't know what people are complaining about.
Then you have to read the actual comic and you realize the reason is because there's this whole, because the idea is that, you know, Ozymandias was trying to create a sort of fake alien threat that would actually unite the world.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting to see, like, a completely faithful, I'm sure they've done, like, the...
Actually, it would be okay if they kind of updated it to make it more recent.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Did they release like a director's cut of that movie that had the
I've heard that they did. I've heard
yeah,
there is.
Did on Blu-ray.
Yeah, yeah. I probably have it. I haven't watched it yet.
Hmm. But yeah, like 3 hours long.
Yeah. So yeah, Damon Lindelof is the one helming this.
Mm-hmm.
As people might know, he did Lost. And being HBO, they're kind of doing the Game of Thrones thing with this.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're not doing a direct adaptation, but are kind of changing things up. As he says, we have no desire to adapt the 12 issues Mr. Moore and Mr. Gibbons created 30 years ago. Those issues are sacred ground and will not be retread or recreated, nor reproduced, nor rebooted.
Hmm.
They will, however, be remixed because the bass lines in those familiar tracks are just too good, and we'd be fools not to sample them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those original 12 issues are Old Testament. When the New Testament came along, it did not erase what came before it. Creation, the Garden of Eden, Abraham and Isaac. The flood, it all happened, and so it will be with Watchmen. The comedian
you know,
died.
If it was any other
I hate them already.
Yeah.
As you know, the comedian died. Dan and Laurie fell in love. Ozymandias saved the world. Dr. Manhattan left it just after blowing Rorschach to pieces in the bitter cold of Antarctica. Which maybe the biblical allegories maybe don't make that. Make
you know, I wouldn't say that if it was any other comic, I would yeah. not go along with it, but this is Watchmen we're talking about.
Yeah.
A comic that is notoriously so dense with allegory and meaning that people are yeah. still finding new stuff in it decades later. So
for me, it just kind of seems like putting this comic series on such a high pedestal.
Well, there's a reason it's on high pedestal. Yeah. It basically changed American comics forever.
Okay.
Like, there's before Watchmen, and there's after Watchmen.
Yeah.
It was the game changer.
Yeah. So he went on to say the show is that he's creating will not be a sequel to the original either. Yeah, so they are not going to set this during the 80s. Yeah, as he says here, the Old Testament was specific to the 80s of Reagan and Thatcher and Gorbachev. Ours mm-hmm. needs to resonate with the frequency of Trump and May and Putin. And the horse that he rides around on, shirtless. And speaking of horsemen, the end of the world is off the table, which means the heroes and villains, as if the two are distinguishable, are playing for different stakes entirely. Some of the characters will be unknown. New faces, new masks to cover them. We also intend to revisit the past century of costumed adventuring through a surprising yet familiar set of eyes, and it is here we will be taking our greatest risks. So I guess this is all just a letter he put to the fans of Watchmen.
Yeah.
So I guess
and all I got to say is, dude, good luck.
Yeah.
You got some serious work to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure it'll do pretty well. I mean, they're doing it as a series, which means they're going to have plenty of time to actually develop characters and plots.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
You know, they're not going to have to smash it into 2 hours to try to tell everything.
Yeah.
I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah. So, next up, in a story that, frankly, it's kind of awesome, but also hilarious because of how many people it's gotten who have gone online saying, because of this, I'm going to cancel my Netflix subscription.
Especially when they're saying that when... David Letterman had his Obama episode.
Yeah.
It's like they were doing it around then. I'm sure there were others where they were throwing a fit like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it says, Netflix has signed a multi-year deal with Barack and Michelle Obama for shows and movies.
Yep.
Yeah.
So here's a funny thing. One of my friends works customer support for Netflix.
Yeah.
And she actually got an old crusty dude calling exactly for this. And he said, I don't want to support a company that supports communists. He said, okay. She kind of laughed and said, all right, what's your number? We can go ahead and cancel. Because he's like, y'all ain't even going to try to keep me? She's like, no, we got millions of subscribers. We can lose one.
It's like, fuck you.
I love your friend.
That's really how you undercut these sort of reactionary boycotts. Just show them how insignificant in the scheme of things they really are.
Yeah, especially when I'm sure she gets a lot that don't even actually have accounts. They're just calling to, yell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is a multi-year agreement to produce films and series with Netflix. It says the pair will produce a diverse mix of content, including the potential for a scripted series, unscripted docuseries, documentaries, and features under their Higher Ground Productions banner.
I actually am legitimately interested to see what they're going to do, because, again...
But I'll translate that last thing for you. Basically, it means, we don't know what the fuck we're going to do.
No.
But we have the names.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically, at the very beginning of this whole process.
Yeah. But, Barack and Michelle are legitimately smart people, and they're probably the most media savvy... Barack Obama is probably the most media savvy president we ever had. So,
mm-hmm. And that makes sense because he was one of the youngest, especially in this era,
mm-hmm.
where he came into power as Twitter and Facebook and all that were getting big, as people could learn more about the president.
Plus, he was the last president that people around the world actually liked.
Yeah.
Like, he was cool. He was a trend. People, would sell T-shirts with his face on them, and people would buy them up, and they didn't care where he was. They, if it was in Japan or Ireland or whatever.
Yeah, he's shown that he's a reasonable person, which is not what we have in power right now.
Now, I'm sure it's probably not so good for, all the people that were on the business end of the drone bombings and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or all those people who were deported under him.
Yeah,
but can't take the president bad
outs with a 100% perfect race record.
I mean, even Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln. He's the guy that saved the Union. He basically ended slavery in the United States. He also signed off on the largest mass hanging in American history.
Yeah,
and the people that were hung were all American Indians.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. They were not the nicest people.
Pretty much every American president from Washington onward has in some way or another been involved in or been accessory to the overall extermination and genocide of the native peoples of America.
Yep. So. Which, I don't know if you saw Trump earlier today saying that we liberated this country.
Yeah.
What? What, this country? Okay, he's got the wrong goddamn word.
He liberated the name. It's Trump.
Decimated. Yes. Yeah.
Decimated, violated.
If he's just talking about the original 13 colonies, that might somewhat make sense, except even there.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can find his tweet, but...
Some things are just not worth the effort.
No, it's just like, just...
There's so much of him fixating about the supposed spy from the FBI.
Yeah.
Planting evidence. It's like the most stupid thing.
It's pretty much it's one of the last vestiges of a scoundrel. He knows he's screwed, and now he's trying to come up with it. It's sort of like how, how they tried to come up with all of these scandals for Hillary Clinton, Uranium One, Benghazi. Yeah. All that stuff. Yeah. And you had Trey Gowdy, who was having all of these committees and hearings constantly, with, unfortunately, Clinton herself having to be dragged to it. Never mind the fact that there are plenty of other awful things that you could get Hillary Clinton on if you wanted. Believe me. Just ask how her and Bill treated prison labor at the governor's mansion when they were governors, when Bill was governor of Arkansas. Mm. They were slaves, basically. Yeah. But, no, that's not what Trey Gowdy did. And so now, because all of it failed, because, you know, there wasn't anything, really anything there. Now you got folks like Lou Dobbs going on and saying that Trey Gowdy is a phony. But anyway, so finally, last we got, and probably what I'm probably most excited for, Matt Groening, creator of The Simpsons and Futurama, and of course the ongoing comic strip Life is Hell, has announced his new show, Disenchantment, which is debuting on Netflix on June 17th. No, wait, is that, or is that August 17th?
August.
8 is August, yes. And if you've looked at it, it's like, yes, I want this now.
Yeah, the first 10 episodes that will debut on that day. So the series takes place in the crumbling medieval kingdom of Dreamland. Follows the misadventures of hard-drinking young princess Bean, her feisty elf companion Elfo, and her personal demon Lucy. Along the way, the Oddball Trio will encounter ogres, sprites, harpies, imps, trolls, walruses, and lots of human fools. Yeah, it's a 20-episode order for the first season, so it'll be two parts. Voice acting, they have Abby Jacobson as Bean, Nat Faxon as Elfo, and Eric Andre as Lucy. And beyond that, it's a lot of Futurama people. John DiMaggio, Billy West, Maurice LaMarche, Tris McNeil, and David Herman. As well as a lot of the writers they have coming back as well from Futurama. And the animation is also being done by Rough Draft Studios, which is Futurama's art studio. They got a few shots from the show here, which all look really good.
This is going to be one to watch.
And unfortunately, we have to wait till August.
Oh, it's not long from now.
Well, all right. Well, I do believe that we've got a show, folks. So, I would like to remind our readers that if you've got something you want to send to the show, something you want us to read on the air, have a question, comment, hate mail, whatever, you can send it to us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We've got it linked in the show notes. And on top of iTunes, you can catch our little unscripted shenanigans at, well, partially scripted shenanigans, I should say, at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, anywhere where you can get sweet, sweet oral candy for your ear mouths. And so, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo DiNolfo, the now gone Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Sologi. Remember, the ear mouths do bite, so, you know, you might want to put on some earmuffs or something. Good night.